Festival. North Shore's newest family-friendly event with live country, rock, Motown, Zydeco, and more. Featuring arts, crafts, food vendors, hamburger eating contest, hamburger cook-off, a baby crawling contest, rides, games, and more. May 20th through the 22nd at the St. Tammany Parish Fairgrounds, Covington. $10 adults, $5 for students, kids under 6 get in free. St. Tammany Hamburger Festival.com.
It's the Food Show. Marianne Fitzmaurice here with Tom Fitzmaurice, and we are going to talk food with you, as someone has been doing for a very long time on this show. 5569696 is the number. If you want to talk to us, we're here, including the dog, but he, you know, that's the extent of his conversation. So, Patty, tell us how the Jazz Fest was yesterday.
Jazz Fest was fabulous. The whole weekend was fabulous. We had a great time.
Are your friends back in Chicago?
They're at the airport now. Their flight leaves at 2:20. So the whirlwind weekend has come to an end. But it was.
What did you do? I know Dragos was part of it.
Oh gosh. Friday night we went to St. John. We were seated at the they were so accommodating to us. I made the reservations like 3 weeks ago and had to change them like 5 times, because first it was 6 people, then it was 8, then it was 6.
You've been hanging around
4.
Me too long.
Yeah, so it wound up with just the 4 of us. So they put us at the chef's counter, and it was a blast. We had a blast. Yeah. The food was out of sight good, and it was just so much fun being able to interact with the chefs, and you know, with the cooks. It was just and everything from start to finish was just amazing.
What style of
Eric wasn't there, right?
No.
It's like Grigri, Tom. Hmm? It's like Grigri. It's called St. John, and it's Eric Cook. He was not there. Well, he's got a chef.
Darren.
His name, Mike. Thank you, Darren. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was there.
And he's really cute. Okay, yeah. So what did you have?
Well, I started with the Hop and John salad, which was excellent. And I was a little leery about the green remoulade. They call it the green remoulade dressing. It's the salad with butter lettuce, fried oysters, and smoked black-eyed peas.
Uh-huh. Now, did it have rice, too, or just the peas?
No,
okay.
Just the peas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the dressing was fabulous.
It was great.
It was fabulous.
See, Patty, you go out on a limb.
I did.
And it usually doesn't snap behind you.
It was fabulous. And then I got the shrimp creole, etouffee, which was just delicious. And our friends got their crawfish remoulade. I'm not crazy about fried green tomatoes, but their crawfish remoulade, they put fried green tomatoes, and then they put a crawfish in cream sauce on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And all three, Bob and my other two friends, from Chicago, they all got that. And, I mean, they would have licked the plates if they could have.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Well, now, did you like it? Did you try it after they raved about it?
I don't like fried green tomatoes. I just don't like them.
Now, have you had them that way? Because I think that when you have them with a cold seafood on top in a remoulade, it changes the dynamic. And what you get is a little crispiness under those flavors, but the flavors dominate, and it really comes together.
Yeah. Now, and the crawfish sauce they put on it is hot.
It was hot. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a crawfish and cream sauce.
Okay.
And then for the entree, my friend got the dobe on mashed potatoes. That was.
They're doing dobe.
They're doing dobe over mashed potatoes, and it was just fabulous.
Avocado.
Was it dobe in a brown gravy?
Yeah, it was in a brown gravy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And,
that sounds yummy yum.
Bob got a steak, and it was perfectly cooked. And my other friend got the same thing I did, the shrimp etouffee. I have enough of all of that's what we're going to eat for dinner tonight, because I brought it all home. And then we had so much fun at St. John Friday night that last night after Jazz Fest, we went to Grigri, and Eric was there at Grigri.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to him for a few minutes, and it was excellent, too.
He's great. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really delicious. It's one of those restaurants that's hip, and he's young, and he's part of the popular kids, but it's delicious.
It was delicious.
You don't have to trade one for the other. Mm-mm. He is really cognizant of what tastes delicious in the Louisiana food realm and updates it in a way that improves it. And there's no throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, he's really respectful of the hundreds of years of tradition and is playing on that and putting a modern twist on it. But the modern twist is scrumptious.
Oh, it was. I got the hamburger, and it was melt in your mouth.
Good for you.
Hamburger. Yeah. My friend said, "You come in here and you get a hamburger?" I'm like,
you know it's going to be good.
It was delicious. Yeah. They got the chicken and dumplings, and they both said it was absolutely delicious. They had one little caveat. They said it needed a little more chicken. It didn't have, you know, my friend from Chicago said he had to search through with the fork to find the chicken.
Uh-huh.
But Bob, my husband, actually took a straw when nobody was looking and sucked up the rest of it in his bowl because he thought it would embarrass
Bob.
Us.
We love Bob. Okay.
He said, I know it would embarrass you if I licked the plate, so I'm just going to take this straw and suck this up. I mean, it was,
all right.
He said it was fabulous. And their bread pudding, I need to find, there are two things I want to find out from Eric. First, I want to get his recipe for the Creole mustard vinaigrette that was on the salad because it was delicious. And the bread pudding is served warm with ice cream on top, and it has a crunchy top to it. I can't figure out what it, but it was, you know.
Maybe he torched it like a creme brulee.
That's what we're thinking, like cinnamon sugar torched.
Because, I mean, it's the sugar's there. All you got to do is put heat to it.
Mm-hmm. And then put a big scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. And our friend from Chicago is one of these people that, you know, they don't get bread pudding in Chicago. So everywhere we go, he gets bread pudding. And up until now, he thought Drago's was the best bread pudding. But after last night, he said Grigri took it over. And it was the best bread pudding he's ever had.
Okay.
So it was just a great eating weekend. And now I'm going to fast for about 3 days.
I was about to say, you're going to fast until tonight.
When I get out the leftovers. Yeah.
Right. That sounds great. How was Jazz Fest?
Jazz Fest was fabulous. It was hot, but there was a little bit of a breeze. And, you know, we're veterans. So I had an umbrella and we had chairs and we had lots of sunscreen and the music was fabulous. It was crowded. But we got there early enough that we got our little piece of ground and we put out our tarp and put out our chairs. And we had the Pattons, the crawfish sack and the crawfish patty and the crawfish beignet. And then we had a crawfish pie. I don't know where Jeff got it, our friend, because he went and got the food. He came back with a crawfish pie and with a shrimp andouille pie. And both of them were awesome.
I didn't tell you where he got it.
No, he couldn't remember. You know, he was just walking around and saw it. And he said, "I'm going to get this." And then they got the, of course, the obligatory soft shell crab sandwich, which was really good too.
Okay. Well, when did you leave?
We left after Jimmy Buffett because the only time we could get in Grigri was either 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And we knew none of us would make it till 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So we left right after Jimmy Buffett, which was about 5:30. And we got back to the house and got a second win. And then we went to Grigri.
And then went and ate some more.
Yeah. Like we're crazy.
You know? You're in Orleans, darling. What else are you going to do?
And we all sat down and said, well, maybe we'll just get a salad, you know. Because I wanted to experience Grigri. I wanted to say hello to Eric. I knew he was there.
Oh, you've never been to Grigri?
No, I've never been to Grigri.
Oh, okay.
So we were like, well, okay, maybe we'll just get a salad and like with some fried oysters or something on top. Well, by the time the waitress got there, that was out the window.
That goes out the window.
Yeah.
When you're there, you might as well make it count for something.
Right. And if I wouldn't have looked at the menu, I might have got a salad.
Yeah. Which do you prefer?
Well, I think actually, I think I prefer Grigri.
Yeah, I was about to say probably.
It's a little more casual. It's a little quieter. Uh-huh. But
and a little more, I would say, approachable, even though the other food is
right.
also approachable. But it, like you said, more casual, you know, and approachable. I think mm-hmm. that kind of food is always more approachable than a big plate of something wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Right.
But what was do you remember how much the dough was? Was it a special?
No, it was on the menu. I think it was
really?
20.
Really?
It was either 28 or 32.
Okay.
But it was somewhere in that neighborhood. Probably 30.
I figured it had to be like 30 something yeah. in mm-hmm. these times. All right. We are going to stop for just a minute and take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. 556-9696. You're listening to The Food Show.
The best meals always start with the best ingredients. If you're cooking seafood, the best ingredients are at Mandeville Seafood. All local fish, Louisiana shrimp, oysters, crab, crawfish, wild salmon, and Dungeness crabs. With a little notice, Mandeville Seafood can get anything in the seafood universe you may want to try. And it's crawfish season. Having a boil? Bring your ice chest to Mandeville Seafood. Celebrating 25 years.
Keith Young Steakhouse on the North Shore in Madisonville is everything anyone thinks of when a steakhouse comes to mind. The environment is elegant and handsome. The service staff is knowledgeable, attentive, and friendly. And most important, the steaks are superb. The steakhouse sides are also great. Keith Young Steakhouse, 165 Highway 21, Madisonville. 985-845-9940.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Tom. 556-9696 is the number. If you have tales from the Jazz Fest or any other eating that you did from the weekend, give us a call, because that's what we do on the show. We just compare notes about meals that we've had or not had or want to have or anything like that. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice with Tom Fitzmaurice, and we're talking about what we did over the weekend. We had a more wildly varied experience in the culinary world over the weekend. You didn't see the Kentucky Derby.
Yes,
we went
did.
On Sunday, so you did
we
see
did
it.
We did see the Kentucky Derby. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to hear from Stan, because we actually won on our bet. These friends always come in this weekend. So him and Bob uh-huh. always put up some money and bet, and we actually won. We had the exacta.
Did you bet on the winner? Strike?
Well, we had Bob bet the 3 and the 10 with everything on top of it. So if any horse beat him, we won. And the longest shot on the board beat it, so we won. Yeah.
I don't know what any of what you just said
means. That means that
I was just
he bet the 3 the 3 and the 10 to come in second, and any uh-huh. other horse in the field to come in first. And it turned out that the longest, shot on the board came in first.
So. And how much did he bet?
I think
was it like a regular ticket?
Yeah, it was just a regular ticket. It was like a $3
ticket. And what is a
regular
ticket these
days? It was like a $3 ticket. Yeah.
Okay. So now what was the payoff on that? I'm just being really nosy because I'm curious as to, like, I want to know if I had had the guts to bet on Rich Strike at $3, what the payoff would have been.
If you would have bet $3 on Rich Strike to win, you would have won $164.
Oh, that's not that much. Okay. I thought I was thinking at 80-1, wow, that's like a really big payoff. But I mean, it's a good payoff.
Yeah, it's
but,
$2.
You know, you're only investing $3 in it.
If you're only, it was $164 on a $2 bet. So on a $3 bet, you would have got half of that. So you would have got $240.
Well, that's still pretty good. I just love the story of that horse.
I know. Isn't that funny?
I can't wait
to talk to Stan.
Well, he said that he was going to bet Epicenter and the highest odds. So
we'll see.
If he did bet that, then, you know, then good for him. But mm-hmm. I guess that will have made him feel a little bit better about Epicenter, because, I mean, he was all ready to go collect his money.
He was.
And I mean, had it not been for that horse, he would have. But mm-hmm. anyway, it was just, oh, man, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So as much as I love the idea of going to parties to watch the Kentucky Derby, I think the best and only party to do is actually in Louisville. So one of these days I'll do that. But our plan was to go and eat at Ted's Frost Stop and a lot of burger. Have you been there lately, Patty?
No, not lately.
Like how lately is
like lately? Probably not since the pandemic.
Oh, that's lately. I haven't been in, I don't know that I've ever been.
Oh yeah, we were there probably, before the lockdown. We would go every now and then.
Okay, so there used to be one in Metairie, and I went to that one. And I used to love the Lotaburger. It had a unique taste.
The one on Clearview?
Was there? I don't know.
It's in Mid-City.
Okay, so have you followed this at all? Because, I don't know. It seemed to me that there were more Frost Tops back in the day.
Oh, yeah, there were. But there are only two now that I know of.
Okay, that's right.
They've done it.
That's right. Now, I feel like the one that we went to was probably on Veterans somewhere, because that's kind of our little wheelhouse when I was growing up. But I don't remember where there was one. But I do remember going and eating this sandwich that had this unique mustardy taste that I really liked. And the combo of the mustard and pickles made it really special. And so when we went over the weekend, first of all, it is frozen in time. I mean, that place, first of all, is really well kept. I mean, it's like stepping into the 60s, and they play the music and everything as though you're in the 60s. I mean, it's
which one did you go to? The one on Clearview or on
Claiborne? No, I don't know anything about the one on Claiborne. Claiborne. That one seems like a fake one. The one on Claiborne is the real deal. Mm-hmm. So we went there. Okay, so it was our plan because, we eat for a living and we were over there. So it was my plan to do the Lotaburger and then walk over to Felipe's and eat at Felipe's.
Oh, yeah.
And then come back to the, we had a reservation at Two Jacks, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. I decided I wanted to come back and go to the Derby party at Desi Vegas. So they had the whole parking lot blocked off. They had vendors out there. I mean, it was all their food, but there were booths of things that you could buy. There was a ticket for $20. You got to see the race, you had music, and they had this other ticket for inside for $1,000. It was a table for six. So what is that, like 200 some out of person?
Yeah.
No, 185 maybe a person?
Yeah, something like that.
So we didn't have six, and it was just a lot of trouble to try and figure out a way to do that because we drove up to go to the outdoor party because it was nice outside. And we could hear the bass from the highway. So I knew that, first of all, that was never going to fly. And also, I didn't really even want to do that. I mean, I don't like bass that, reverberates in your gut.
Yeah.
So even though there were hamburgers that sounded really good and little poor boys and stuff like that, that I really would like to have eaten and I would like to have seen the Derby, we scratched that idea. But I get ahead of myself. We went over around midday and went to Lotaburger or Ted's Frost Top. Tom, what'd you think of the Lotaburger?
The Lotaburger was had some flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come across like a hamburger. It just looked pretty good, but nothing special about it.
Right.
What they've been doing over here are some complexion reminders. Mm-hmm. From all of the times in the days when that was a hot neighborhood. It was right across.
It's still a hot neighborhood. There were a lot of people in there.
One side of it used to be
it's a bizarre parking lot.
It was that. And
you have to watch yourself so your car doesn't fall off a cliff. Yeah. Anyway, there were lots of people in there. The burger was not really appealing looking if you really inspected it, but the flavor was definitely there. I remember the onions and the pickle and the way it reacted with the mustard and the mayo, and it was like stepping back in time. The fries were fine, nothing special. I mean, none of it was anything special, but it is a unique flavor. And they've been around since 1926, so you know what? You get points for that in my book. So I got a chocolate shake, which is one of those shakes so thick that a straw stands up in it. And Tom got a root beer. And the mugs that I'll bet used to be really great are now just plastic mugs. But you can get a frosted one. And so we took Tom's root beer in the mug.
One of the funny things of all is that there used to be a place where you could get car updated for the.
No, that's something else, Tom. We're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk. You were telling me that story on the way home. We're going to talk about airline motors in this show as well, because that's part of our great and varied travels in food world over the weekend. So we went to Lotteburger for lunch, and after we did that, Tom, was the root beer good at?
It was a straight ahead
Frost Shop,
the one that we've been eating and drinking in New Orleans forever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, it was good. There were people playing with pinball machines, and it was straight out of the 50s. It was cool, but there were lots of people there. When you went the last time, Patty, were there lots of people there?
Lots of people. A packed house,
yeah,
really.
There were a lot. You know, I think Tulane had a baseball game Saturday, and Tulane's baseball field was right across the street. So that probably
not. Yeah, I know that. But a lot of these people didn't look like they were going or coming from the game. There were a couple that had their Tulane belt on and stuff like that. But there, I think it does well in the neighborhood. I really do. It was surprising how many people were there.
It's a neighborhood kind of thing.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was packed or anything. Yeah, it's a neighborhood thing for sure, Tom. It was interesting. It was like a little cultural adventure, and I'm glad we did it. And we got some content out of it. That's what I'm looking for. And then we started to go over to Felipe's, and I just went, you know what? I can't. It's just like the spirit is willing, but the stomach cannot. So we went back to the North Shore. And that's when we realized that the Desi Vega thing was not going to happen because it's, you know, it was just too much noise. And it was hard to... Like, there's no way I could have gotten out and left Tom in the car and asked any questions about trying to get inside or anything like that. So we just aborted that. And I came home, sat on the sofa, and watched the Derby the best way by yourself, where you can listen to all the stories. And it was cool, and it was nice. And I didn't really want to leave, but I knew that we had more eating to do. So after the Derby was over, I tried to at least get some more content, and we checked the Gloriette, which was booked until like 9 o'clock that night. So that didn't happen either. And we walked across the street to Del Porto, and I love Del Porto. It's perfection. It really is perfection. And we thought about going to Sal and Judy's, but we didn't feel like traveling all the way to Lacombe. And we thought about Trey Yen, but didn't feel like traveling to Mandeville. So Covington seemed like a good choice. And we went to Del Porto and sat at the last table they had and got, oddly enough, Tom always surprises me with what he wants to order. So we ordered something that we got the last time that he didn't like, which was the antipasto board. This is, to me, the best antipasto platter or antipasti platter anywhere. I think it's gorgeous, and it's just always been great. It was different this time. There was no fruit in it except one hard-to-figure-out one. What's up, babe? Go ahead. Are you trying to talk, Tom? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your head had some... drifted over there.
Oh, I thought you wanted to say something. Did you?
Well, I just wanted you to say something.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm doing that. So they had less meat on it than usual. And everything else was just as bursting out as normal. And it was, if you didn't know that it was a little bit different, you would think, this is the best antipasti platter I've ever had. And I still say that about it. I just wish that I'd had a little more mortadella, which they did in the past. And again, I understand all this, you know.
It was very good.
It was fantastic. There was a shrimp and corn bisque that I got as an appetizer as well. And that was terrific. They have a Fritti Misti there, which is something you never see anywhere but Italy. And what it means is fried bits. And it is whatever whatever's in the kitchen. Could be fried mushrooms, fried string beans, shrimp, fish, anything like that. And all of it is dipped in a batter and dropped in the oil, and it comes out as a pile of different stuff. It's like a grab bag. It's like a culinary grab bag. And I didn't get it yesterday because we got the antipasti platter, but I always love to see that on any menu, and that's the only menu that I see it on. And then what else did we get, Tom? Oh, gosh, the best for last. We'll talk about the best for last when we come back after the news on Louisiana Radio Network. It's 3:30.
Louisiana Radio Network News. I'm Kevin Gallagher. A wildlife and fishery rescues 9 people from a capsized boat this weekend and saves the life of a little girl. David Grubb has that story.
While patrolling the beach at Grand Isle Saturday evening, LDWF Sergeant Stephen Rhodes noticed a boat taking on water before capsizing. After getting help from some nearby beachgoers, Rhodes sprang into action. When he arrived on the scene, he found 8 people on top of the vessel and moved them onto his patrol boat.
They told him that there was still a little girl that was in the water.
Spokesperson Adam Eink says Rhodes dove in, found the 7-year-old girl, and got her back into the boat where he used CPR to revive her.
He was then able to get her to an EMS. They were able to stabilize her, and she's expected to make a full recovery.
Eink says Rhodes was just doing his job.
His training kicked in, and everything worked out perfectly.
I'm David Grubb.
3 people seriously injured this morning in a chemical plant explosion in Cotton Valley. Webster Parish Sheriff Jason Parker says it happened at Aero Press Corporation. The men hurt were airlifted to the burn center in Shreveport. I'm Kevin Gallagher. This is news on LRN.
Rolling road to bring the world to you. Louisiana truckers love what they do. From hauling big machines to the food we eat. Bringing so many things that make life oh so sweet. The wheels on the truck make life go round. Life go round. Life go round. Louisiana truckers make life go round.
Hurting Louisiana's older citizens is abuse. It can be financial, physical, verbal abuse, or neglect. See the signs. Stop the crime. You don't have to prove abuse to report it. Anonymous calls accepted. Contact Louisiana Elderly Protective Services, 833-577-6532. That's 833-577-6532.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too.
Thank you, Tom. 5569696. So Patty was telling me some news off the air. Go ahead and read it out, Patty.
Okay, the movie that we talked about a few weeks ago when you had... Paul Hardart. You talked about he talked about the movie they made called The Automat, and I just got an email from the producer of that, and she said it's going to be playing at the Britannia Theater May 13th through 19th, and that's the name of it, The Automat, and it's a movie about the automat.
I loved that interview. I loved what he had to say, and I really am looking forward to seeing the movie. So it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it. All right, back to our story, our culinary travels for the weekend.
Oh, wait, I have one more news break for you.
What?
I also just got an email from Matt Renanza, our Creole tomato guy.
Yeah.
He said his Creole tomatoes are in all the Rouses in New Orleans
Ooh.
Right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, part of the story that I'm going to tell has to do with being out in the river parishes, Vacherie, Edgard, and I was wishing that Coco's Creoles were available, but we'll have to wait and hear from Jared when that happens. So I will in the meantime, though, go get some of those because I just love Creoles and I want to see if they're good. Okay. So the platter is enough for two, and with a glass of wine, that could be dinner. I'm sure the restaurant isn't happy about that, especially on a Saturday night, but really it could be dinner. So we had that. I had the soup, and then I was trying to decide if I wanted to get their signature white bean hummus because it's divine, but that was just too close to everything else that was there. They have this crostini that's very plentiful on the platter, and it was just a big plate of food, so we weren't really hungry enough for that. But I did want to get a pasta, so I got a small portion of their house-made linguine with... it's pretty much a linguine with aglio olio and grilled shrimp. Mm. It was so delicious. I don't like linguine, but I really liked that version.
I believe you.
I really, really did. I didn't want to share it with Tom, but I did. But it was really terrific. And then we were just super full, so we didn't get a dessert. Actually, the reason we didn't get dessert was they didn't have anything that Tom really wanted. They had a pot de creme, which almost tempted me until she described it further, and I thought, I don't know. They do a crostata there that is mind-blowingly delicious. I got the chocolate version. They had a strawberry version the other night, and I was tempted to get it just because it was so good, but I really would have preferred the chocolate. So we called it an evening. It was already like 8:30. And that was our Saturday eating adventures. And so Sunday was Mother's Day, and Mary Lee was leaving town for her birthday. Oh, happy birthday to our daughter, Mary Lee. Today is her birthday. I'm not going to say which one, but it's a biggie. And she is out of town for a couple of days, and so she needed to get on the road, and we didn't really do anything with her yesterday. So I decided that we were going to go out to the Hummus House and do their brunch out there. Now, I've seen pictures of the Hummus House brunch where there are, you know, the white tables that extend forever with the white chairs out on the lawn.
Live music.
And I don't know if they have live music, but
they used to.
They did. And it would be like a really nice, you know, outdoor wedding. And so I've wanted to do that. So we decided we were going to do that. And I was thinking about sitting out on the lawn under the oak trees. But first of all, it was really hot. And so we wound up just getting there at like 1:30 and eating in the place where the buffet is set up. It was $98 all inclusive. And I didn't see, to me, enough chafing dishes to feel like $98 was worth the price. But I was wrong about that. When I went over to the seafood bar, I don't know if you've done any of these cold plots, as they call it, the towers of seafood in any restaurant, Patty. They're enormously expensive, and you get tiers of seafood. Tom, don't do that. You get tiers of seafood.
Yeah,
and
I've seen those.
You have or haven't?
I have seen those.
Yeah. They're frighteningly expensive.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of expensive seafood on it. And so it becomes, you know, exactly what it should be, which is the proper market price for that much seafood and different kinds of seafood and sometimes really expensive seafood. So I was thinking, you know, $98 isn't really a very good deal for this. But then I saw the seafood and there were raw oysters, jamami, as Tom used to like to say. Yeah. There were piles of boiled shrimp, piles of crab claws. There were king crab pieces and stone crabs. There were stone crab claws on that thing. They had mussels. It was a lot of seafood, and it was unlimited because it was a buffet, so you could really eat your $98 right there in the cold seafood section. But that it wasn't as good as I expected it to be. The shrimp could have used some more spice. The crab claws, same story there. The stone crab was fine, but you know, unremarkable. And Tom had a bunch of oysters, which he loved and thought they were really great. But I feel like, you know, I feel like the shrimp would have been better with a cocktail sauce. And if I'm saying that, that means that I didn't like them that much. But maybe they would have been a lot better with a cocktail sauce or a horseradish sauce or something.
That was a nice combination.
They do salads. Jeremy Langlois, who is the chef there, does killer salads. So there were three big silver bowls. One had potato salad in it. One had a mixed green salad with currants, pecans, blue cheese, and a delicious kind of sweet dressing to it. That was crazy good. And he really does a terrific Caesar. So he had like a very well-dressed Caesar with a lot of Parmesan. And it was, I mean, I ate like a lot of those too. And then they had two soups right next to it. One was a curry pumpkin crawfish and corn bisque. There's a lot of flavors going on there, but they came together very well. Tom, you love that, didn't you?
I love things like that.
Yeah, you love that. You kept saying, this is delicious. And it was. It was really good. And there was a chicken gumbo that was just fantastic. It was thick and really dark and had a lot of chicken and andouille in it. It was just terrific. So I had like two bowls of that. And then I wasn't really that hungry, which was good because I didn't really, wasn't really all that enthusiastic about the other food that was there. So they had mashed potatoes. They had now I didn't see this until we were about to leave, but it was a pecan, it was a Cajun pecan rice dressing that I think would have been really good. They had mixed grilled vegetables, which were fine, and makshu, which was good. You liked the makshu, didn't you? I know you asked me to go get you some makshu, and you thought that was really good. And then the dressing, I think that was all they had on the vegetables. Oh, no. They had they had oyster patty shells piled up for you to spoon crawfish etouffee into. And that was good. As a matter of fact, I would have eaten, I think I would have done better to just spoon out some crawfish etouffee and eat it with the rice. Yeah. And then the meats table had roast pork. It had grilled glazed ham, a chicken dish. It had roast duck with I think it was like a pecan and cane syrup.
Beautiful.
Glaze. Yeah, that was really good. Patty, you would even have liked it. It was very well cooked duck, and it was not that rare, chewy breast. It was good. It was duck breast, and it was sliced thin, but it was good. And the pork roast was a little bit dry. The ham was fine. They had a salmon dish that had a lot going on that I thought was also good. And I'm trying to think of what else. And then they had a prime rib being carved, which you thought was really great, Tom. I thought it was good, too. It was a roast prime rib. It was not the big leg. It was like a prime rib roast, but it, not with bones in it.
That was delicious.
It was good. Yeah, it was really good. And it had the au jus with it. And then there was coffee on its own table and a dessert bonanza, if you were really into dessert. A lot of little desserts, some cheesecake slices, bread pudding that Tom had. I don't know, Tom, did you have like four servings of that? You went crazy on the bread pudding.
bread pudding.
You loved it.
With Baskers.
Yeah, you love, love, love the bread pudding. Anyway, that was the buffet brunch for Mother's Day at the Homus House. And we will be back to talk some more about the rest of our adventures over the weekend after the news. Well, actually, it's not the news. It's after this break. We'll be right back.
Care Restaurant and Supply has reopened for you to come in and shop. Care has all the wipes, gloves, and sanitizing supplies that you may need, and face masks. They have a great selection of takeout containers, too. Call Billy to help you plan the renovation of your kitchen or dining room. Home cooks will find a great selection of kitchen tools, too. Hours are 8 to 4 weekdays right now. Buy local. Our city depends on it. Care Hotel and Restaurant Supply. Call 482-0294, 4815 Conti Street.
When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are never what they seem.
Yes, indeed. True enough, Tom. I want to tell you about popcorn rice.
Popcorn rice.
Which would have been great on that buffet yesterday.
I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk about that a little
bit. Okay, talk about it. No, talk about it.
Well, you've been hearing, if you've listened to
the food show, yeah.
Talking about various things that are in the categories of this wild
popcorn rice.
Popcorn. Mm-hmm. And where this comes from, ultimately, is the fact that around Louisiana, it's rice everywhere, in every direction, and until it runs out of...
runs off the face of the earth, yes.
And Louisiana has always had a rice as a major ingredient.
Yeah, it's big crop.
The amount of money that anybody makes from it. Anyway, nobody ever talks about that it's as... big a deal as
it's a big industry in southwestern Louisiana.
You just gave me a great example.
Just like sugar cane.
Exactly.
Although even though the sugar cane is, most of those farms are now real estate, like our good friend's family.
Imagine that.
The rice is still going, and Baker Farms popcorn rice has been in business for 4 generations in Gaydon, farming this exquisitely delicious, delicate but also pronounced, unique rice that can be eaten all by itself right out of the pot. It's that good. I really, really feel that it's that good. Although Roy Baker, who's been farming it as the 4th generation, says do it with your gumbo or make it for your crawfish etouffee or your red beans and rice will all be much better if you use popcorn rice, which is absolutely easy to believe, because when you start out with a premium ingredient like that, it's going to make everything better. Baker Farms popcorn rice is coming into this market. They are currently at Martin Wine Cellar. I think they may be at Mandeville Seafood soon and at Dorignac's. And you can ask your grocer to please stock it. Baker Farms popcorn rice. If you search Baker Farms popcorn rice, it'll come up as Campbell Farms. You can order off that website, or you can call them at 337-536-7052. That's Baker Farms popcorn rice. So on the way back, I will say this about the Homus House. You got to really want to go there, because it is not an easy trip. It's not an easy trip. It's not easy to get there if you go off the main roads. You wind through a lot of different roads. And we were taking the scenic route and then wound up doubling back a few times because the river road was closed. But I wanted really specifically to take the airline highway. Have you done that lately, Patty?
Nope, I sure haven't.
Do you remember the spillway and what an old bridge it seemed to be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know what I found interesting about the route that we took yesterday? We did wind up on 61 heading east across the spillway, but the bridge across the spillway on the interstate goes for like 12 miles on the elevated roadway there. And so I was thinking that the spillway went on forever, but it's really like I want to say if it's more than 3 or 4 miles of actual bridge, that's a lot. Do you remember it that way?
I do. Yes, I do.
See, I remember thinking that it was a really long bridge, but it isn't a very long bridge. It is an old bridge, and it looks every bit its age. But it seems to me that the spillway, which looked like a great place for families to hang out on Mother's Day, and there were lots of them doing that, we took the bridge and were off the bridge in no time. Then we went through Norco, and it was just a really interesting trip back. We went through Garyville and experienced all that the River Road has to offer. And then we went down 61. Okay. We went down 61 and went into Kenner, saw the old airport, poor airport. And guess what I discovered?
What?
That the Voodoo Barbecue that I've been telling everyone to go have their potato salad, you can't do that because it is no more. So there
it's
are
gone.
No more Voodoo Barbecue. So, which is too bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
it
like
is.
A rotting purple awning, and that's the only semblance of recognition that it was ever out there. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's our report from our adventures over the weekend. We worked it hard, Patty. Was that good?
Yeah,
was
that sounded, enough? Let me tell you, it sounded that homeless house thing sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's definitely something to splurge on if you want to do a splurge. Mm-hmm. It would be that. Have you been there lately?
No.
Wait, you have been there though, right?
Yeah, I just haven't been there for that brunch thing. We've been there.
How
we
long
toured
has
it
been since you've
oh, it's been
there?
Probably 5 years long or longer. Since we've
I'm
been
telling
there.
You, it changes every time we go. It's very lush right now, so it really it's a gorgeous place. A gorgeous place. And the Turtle Bar is magnificent. It's in the old Garçonnières. And and it's just, everything was great. It was great. I mean, it's, don't go expecting that this food's going to blow you away because it's a buffet after all, so it's not at its best.
Right. But the seafood
but
sounded
was,
great.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. And I just think it's definitely worth doing. I think I would do it in the fall when you can sit out on the lawn on those white tables. But it was nice to also sit in the air conditioning. And everything about that place is 100% gorgeous. So, you know, everything from the linens to the silver, it's gorgeous. I mean, the guy has a really great taste. All right, let's go to Michael 75.
Hello, Dan. This is a fabulous time. It's what Shakespeare called the salad days we're experiencing. First of all, one of the great stories in racing history on that racehorse named Rich Strike. The man who owned the horse was getting out of the business. He had lost so much money. He never had anything. So they go in to claim this horse. Somebody else owned him. Actually,
yeah.
a trainer from New Orleans named Joe Sharp had him. And he puts him in the race. So they go to, they were going to buy two horses. The first one, they got what they call outshook. That means when you go to claim a horse, if other people want to claim him, you have to shake the dice, whoever gets it. So they lost the first one, and they got this one on a miracle.
Uh-huh.
And then the trainer of the horse, Eric Reed, had lost 23 of his horses.
That makes me cry.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm saying it made me cry. I mean, it's sad.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was crying, yeah. And it lost, and the little jockey was nothing, too. And the horse had ran here at the fairgrounds against Epicenter. Epicenter beat him by the length of the stretch, like 15 lengths. It was a slaughter. So everything was against this guy. And then he wasn't even going to run in the race until the day of the race. He was planning on something else, and he got a late call just to enter the horse. And
it's a great Cinderella story.
Oh, it's got to be a movie. It was great.
It is. Also, it should be. But they can't have they can't put the scene in there where all the horses get burned up in the stalls. That's too traumatic.
Oh, no. I mean, no, they won't put that. They'll just reference Papa. But anyway.
But yes. Wow.
Yeah,
wait,
so terrible.
Michael, you can probably answer this question. So the horse was purchased as a claimer in September for $30,000. What was the purse yesterday?
$2 million.
Talk about a return on your investment.
ROI. ROI.
Oh,
anyway, here's the salad days. It's salad days at Rouse's. I'm not talking about lettuce. I'm talking about the tomatoes are there from your man, and also the crawfish are so. I've been eating them all week long. $2.69 a pound, big, fat, beautiful crawfish, and asparagus spears, 99 cents with holiday sauce. It's incredible. And your boy Jared Zerang has got a full, big interview, a whole page interview in Gambit magazine.
Oh, good! I have to look that up.
Yeah, and also I was looking at this Cafe Normandy. Heard of that?
Yes, Cafe Normandy is doing a Nalfi dinner. Are you going? Hello? Did we lose him? Hello?
I think we might have lost him. When he first called, I was losing him, and he moved to him. There he is.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
You back?
Are you going to that dinner?
No.
Oh.
Probably because I can make this. It's probably going to be about 200. I can make it for 25. Anyway, the appetizer is the shrimp ceviche, first course soft shell crab, second course pan-seared redfish, third course stuffed quail, and the fourth course or dessert is the floating island, one of my favorites.
How does it describe the floating island? Because we were talking about that the other day, and I'm thinking maybe I want to try floating island.
We had our first floating island experience. We on the auto route, they call it. It's the autostrada in Italy, auto route in France, and the auto bahn in Germany. So we're on the auto route. We stop at a little truck stop, and they had these little meringues floating in a little sea of white custard, and they were fabulous. And since then, I've loved them. The only place that I knew that had them was Café du Lac, and I, for some crazy reason, they're out of business.
Wait, Chateau anyway, du Lac? Chateau du
Lac? Chateau du Lac, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Chateau du Lac. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why he went out.
The crazy reason is that they got tired of struggling. That's the reason.
Struggling? I don't see why. Well, I guess in New Orleans they
And they just closed on a whim. I think, was it 2017 or 2016? They closed New Year's Eve, something like that.
They had incredible bouillabaisse, everything.
Well, he's really a great chef. He's a terrific chef.
Oh, yeah. I wonder where he is now.
I'll tell you where he is. He's at Lambeth House.
Oh, lucky old people. I'm going to have to get real sick and go to the Lambeth.
Lloyd, you know, you don't have to. You can go over there and just eat there. You can.
Oh, you can?
Uh-huh, you can.
The public can? Oh, great.
I think it helps to be with someone. You may have to check and find out if someone is going to be your host.
Oh, okay. I'll see.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so it's today we're living in the salad days. It's a beautiful thing. By the way. The only one who could afford the Nalfi dinner is Bob and Patty after they hit that exacta.
Gee, I was thinking, I wonder what I would have won if I had put money on that horse. Now, Michael, what do you think his chances are for the remainder of the Triple Crown?
Okay, if I owned the horse, I would never run in the Triple Crown, the second race of the Triple Crown. It's 2 weeks later. And it's terrible. If you think about horses dying in fires, it's almost dirty. That'll destroy so many horses, but these owners, their egos. What I would do is pass the purchase. Running style is not good for the Preakness. And really for anything, because I think that was a fluke. But anyway, if you're going to run in the longest race, the bottom line, 6 weeks, and you have a lot of time with your horse, and he can run a long time in his life. But if not, his chances are less and are very slim. So, but
I think that horse has. I think that horse is has. I don't know, kismet with it or something.
Yeah,
I think
definitely kismet. But
I think that horse is going to do just fine.
Okay. Hmm? Another story, it was kind of a little negative. The owner of a horse named Taiba, T-A-I-B-A, one of the favorites. The owner paid $1,700,000 for him. And he ran him twice. And he had, you would never throw a horse to the wolves like he did in the Derby to run a mile and a quarter against those horses. And he had what almost everybody experiences. Excuse me. Hello? Everybody experiences, a lot of owners experience what they call Derby fever. The lady, Jenny Craig from New Orleans, remember her?
Yeah, sure.
Jenny Craig and her husband, Sidney Craig. Whoever had a good young horse that had a chance in the Derby, she would pay anything for that horse. So if I'd have had a nice horse, I would have sold it at a ridiculous profit. But Derby fever every year. But anyway,
everybody has Derby fever.
If you want to play it safe and love your horse, don't run Rich Strike in the Preakness. That's my warning.
Okay. All right. I don't think they're listening to the show, but thank you, Michael. I have a feeling that that horse can handle anything, and I just it's just going to be a fun story to watch. All right, that's it for us. Do we have the Windowsill Pie girls coming on, Patty? Are they still on?
Yes,
WGSO
they are.
New Orleans, it's time for the news. Louisiana Radio Network, it is 3 o'clock.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Prices at the pump are once again flirting with record highs. The national average for regular gas rose to $4.32 a gallon Monday, which is one penny shy of the all-time high set on March 11th. Gas prices have climbed 13 cents over the past week. This as the national average for diesel hit another record of $5.54 a gallon Monday, up 22 cents in the past week. Patrick DeHaan with GasBuddy.com says with the price of gas and diesel so high, you can expect to pay more for pretty much everything.
Things at the grocery store will be more expensive because of diesel. Getting on a plane is going to be more expensive. Filling up is going to be more expensive.
President Biden is expected to give a major speech on inflation Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right, the Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCN Tax Cut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Last Monday, Politico published a leaked draft majority opinion to overturn Roe versus Wade. 13 states are preparing to enact immediate abortion bans, and 13 more could quickly follow suit if the Supreme Court decides to overturn the abortion law. Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, says women should be able to decide.
The children of this generation should have not have fewer rights than their grandparents had. You can have your own views on the issue. There should be the freedom for each woman to decide with her doctor, with her religious leader.
A new report is out regarding birth rates in the United States.
Over the past 30 years, birth rates have declined for women in their 20s. And jumped up for women in their 30s and 40s. That's according to a new report from the U.S. Census Bureau. The trend has pushed the median age of U.S. women giving birth from 27 to 30, the highest on record. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
USA Radio News.
Gunsmoke, Fort Laramie, have gun. Will travel.
Frontier gentlemen.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
The greatest radio shows of all time. Classic radio theater with Wyatt Cox. On many of these radio stations or online, just search for Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. That's Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
Home prices in 97% of U.S. cities are overvalued. That's according to a new poll put out by Moody's Analytics. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi saying according to his research, the most overpriced city in the nation is Boise, Idaho, which has become a magnet for technology workers who wanted to relocate from pricey California cities when their offices shut down due to the pandemic. Danielle Hale is a chief economist with Realtor.com.
hot above normal temperatures, that heat combined effect of the humidity that's high, and the temperatures that soar, preventing clouds from developing for the most part, much less any showers. And our pattern continues on until midweek. By Thursday, a breakdown in that pattern may allow some widely scattered showers. Till then, it's dry, it's near 90, feeling like low to mid-90s, dropping off to muggy 70s to 80 in the morning tomorrow. Warm and humid again for the afternoon tomorrow, near 90 degrees. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
The first annual St. Tammany Hamburger Festival, North Shore's newest family-friendly event, with live country, rock, Motown, Zydeco, and more. Featuring arts, crafts, food vendors, hamburger eating contest, hamburger cook-off, a baby crawling contest, rides, games, and more. May 20th through the 22nd at the St. Tammany Parish Fairgrounds, Covington. $10 adults, $5 for students, kids under 6, get in free. StTammanyHamburgerFestival.com.
And I believe Marielle Dupree and Nicole Iden, are they on with us already, Patty?
Yes, they are.
They are. Hello, girls. Hi.
Hi. We're so happy to be on with you.
Well, I'm happy to have you because I've had your pies and they're great. So how long have you all been on Ferret with Windowsill Pies?
We've been open since October of 2020, so it's hard to believe for us, but it's already over a year and a half now here on Ferret.
Yeah, you're getting up to 2 years. Time flies. Is that your first venture as owners?
Well, we've owned the business together since 2011, which means it's crazy. We're coming up on our 11-year anniversary together as owners of Windowsill Pies. But it's our first storefront, and yes, neither of us has owned a separate business before this.
Okay. So what was the business that you've had since 2011, and is it like the parent company of Windowsill Pies, or is Windowsill Pies just an offshoot where you have a window?
Well, it's actually the evolution of the business. So we started in Nicole's house over in Mid-City in 2011, literally baking pies and, you know, one pie at a time in her home oven, and then slowly grew from there, you know, with different wholesale stops along the way. We sold to Whole Foods. We sold to French Truck, in addition to selling directly to customers, mostly at the holidays.
I see. So how did you wind up doing this? I take it that both of you love baking, but did either of you bake for other people before you came together?
I don't mean customers.
I mean like, you know, some other bake shop or something.
Marielle did. We met as working at a restaurant pre-Hurricane Katrina. And after the storm, Marielle followed her dream to San Francisco and went to California Culinary Academy and went to pastry school. She returned home 2 years later and worked around town. She worked at Bayona and Sukhothai and Whole Foods. And one day I said, how about we do this? And we started baking that weekend.
Oh, So who were your customers when you first started?
Family and friends initially, and coworkers. Coworkers, we both worked in the food world, so we had a really good immediate, you know, clientele of interested folks, and they helped spread the word. And then, you know, it just grew from there. We rented a kitchen after hours in the old Blue Plate Cafe, which is not with us any longer, and then did farmers markets along the way, and then worked out of a commissary kitchen. So there were definitely a lot of steps, and the farmers market on the North Shore, Covington, was a nice place for us to grow and develop different products like hand pies and smaller little baby sizes, our 2-inch sizes, and then just refine the actual pies that we were making and the flavor combinations. We're very seasonal.
Yes, but we'll get into the menu in just a second. So you opened on Ferret as, was it a walk-up literally through the window?
I wish.
That would be really cute.
We do have nice windows. But no, Windowsill Pies is the name we came up with in 2011, and just it really just evoked that vintage feel that embodied pies, basically. But no, we renovated a space between Balance and Upper Line that was a former restaurant and made it ours.
But it what was the restaurant?
And you can get coffee and different things.
Oh, mm-hmm. What was the restaurant there before?
It was called Cusco.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, and you're located next to Humble Bagel, aren't you, or are you?
Yes, we're between Humble Bagel and Mojo Coffee, and they're great, neighbors to have.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you're the gourmet version of both of those things, so, you know, that's a good place. So yeah, how did you develop the menu? How did you develop the menu?
That's something that's come over time, certainly, but we start with sort of like our tagline refers to, which is Southern style, French inspired, New Orleans baked. So we knew, okay, let's start with a pecan pie for sure. We've had less successful items like here and there that were based in ideas here. Like we had a Satsuma pie we wanted to make, and we just couldn't make it work, you know, so it isn't always perfect trying to utilize everything here. But the pecan has been a huge success. We kind of went from there with like local strawberries from Ponchatoula and that area, and then Mississippi blueberries, which are often organic, which is great. And then we have a lot of customer requests too, you know, like that really inspires us to a certain extent, especially to go back to Nicole's point about the Covington Farmers Market. I mean, not only did that help us develop our range of sizes, but also flavors as well.
How long did you do the farmer's market in Covington?
At least a year. It's hard to, you know, gosh, it's been so long now. I want to say it was at least a full year, if not close to two, maybe one and a half.
Was this back in 2011? Was it back in 2011?
We started in September of 2011. We did that holiday season just with friends and family, as she spoke to. And then we didn't start the farmer's market till maybe 2012 or...
I had just had a baby. So it was 2013 and 14.
That sounds right.
We would take my little girl, who was just like a few months old, over the bridge every Saturday.
And the reason we sort of graduated from that was that the Whole Foods on Broad Street opened, and they had a real focus on local vendors for things. Particularly, they thought it was great we had local, like, miniature sweet items for their bakery. And so once we got that sort of deal with them, we were not able to still, you know, do the weekly trek across the lake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good place to sort of hone your skills before going to present them into the bigger market in New Orleans. So I'm sure that worked out really well for you. So you said that your menu is seasonal. So let's go through the seasons and talk about some of the things that are special that are locally inspired.
Sure. Well, right now we're getting really excited because we're literally just getting the first blueberries right now. We got our hands on some last week just in time for the Mother's Day menu, which was a hit. and we sweetened the blueberry pie with a organic lavender-infused local honey. So it's a very lightly sweetened pie, and the flavor of the honey just naturally blends so well with the blueberries. So we love that one, and that's just joining the menu now. We're coming to the end of strawberry season. We probably have a few more weeks left before it gets too hot. But we do a number of items with fresh strawberries from Ponchatoula and nearby, including the strawberry and cream pie, which we call the lazy summer strawberry and cream pie because of its use of chamomile syrup, which, you know, chamomile tea has a reputation for being calming and relaxing and lazy. So that's where we got that name from. And we do a strawberry frangipane tart as well. And we have hand pies, which are something we developed at the Covington Market. Our most popular is probably the strawberry and chocolate. So it's like a strawberry jam. Again, we make with the local berries, and we add a nice dark chocolate. It's like a nice toasty little fancy little Pop-Tart almost.
Sounds like a marriage made in heaven. There's no such thing as that isn't divine when you're talking about strawberries and chocolate together, or chocolate anything really in my book. But anyway, so how many different pies do you have for sale at any given time?
The range of 10 to 12 if you include all the hand pies, the savories, the sweet pies, because we have a wonderful sign that Nicole had an idea for here in the shop, and it utilizes wooden slats with the painted names, and I have 10 slots, and quite often we'll run out of space because we actually have 12 things that day.
And how many of each different thing do you have? Like, I would imagine that you do more of certain things and you know, just an occasional one or two of something else. So is that right? I mean, you don't do the same amount of each one of those, do you?
Sure. I mean, the customer demand sort of dictates that. We've learned, you know, mm-hmm. we have to really pay attention. And of course, now everything's computerized. And so we print out our reports and look at, oh, we're selling way more of this, especially on the weekends, you know. So and certain things have different shelf lives. So mm-hmm. you can't, you know, make ahead. And certain things are perfectly good the next day. You know, certain things are even better. For example, our signature, the pecan pie, has to sit overnight before it's served. And really, like 5 days later, oh, my gosh, the flavors have married so well. It's, like, even better than it was on day two. So.
Oh, I love a good pecan pie. All right, we are talking to the ladies from Windowsill Pies, and we're going to come back and talk some more after.